Second John, it's only one chapter, 13 verses. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Second John, verse 1, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. The chosen lady and her children was code for the church and Christians. John had to speak in code because the Christians were being murdered for their faith, and he didn't want to give anything away. I suppose if somebody grabbed onto this letter. And so he says, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. John loved these Christians because they loved the truth of God's word. Love for Jesus and love for the word of God is the cement that binds Christians together, no matter what denomination they attend. At least it should. 2. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. The truth will be with us forever. Truth does not change. At least the truth about Jesus the Savior certainly doesn't change. And the truth about right and wrong as laid out in Holy Scripture doesn't change. 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. Grace, mercy, and peace are ours through Jesus Christ. God is much better to us than what we deserve. That's His grace. He forgives us, even though we can't do anything to earn it. That's His mercy. He makes us calm on the inside, even when we have problems. And that's His peace. Grace, mercy, and peace are ours through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. 4. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children following the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. Some of the Christians were living right. That's what he says. I found that some of your children are following the truth. Some of the Christians were living right, which means that some were not. It's always been that way, and it always will be that way. I don't care if you're talking about the Catholic Church or Protestant churches. It just doesn't matter. Some Christians do a wonderful job representing Jesus Christ. They sacrifice, they give, they're kind, they live for Jesus. But some Christians do a lousy job of representing Jesus Christ. That, however, is no excuse for someone to reject Jesus Christ. Sometimes you hear that, well, I'm not going to be a Christian because that person's a Christian and they're bad. Well, you're only cutting your own throat, because it's no excuse for rejecting Christ. I can guarantee you, saying, Jesus, I knew you were the Savior, but I knew some bad Christians who I never repented and made you my Lord. That's not going to get you any mercy on Judgment Day. 5. He says, and now I beg you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. He says, I beg you. He's begging Christians. And notice, God commands Christians. He commands Christians to love others. But notice how John begs Christians to keep that command. God commands. It's not the job of the preacher to play Lord and command. It's up to individuals to decide if they will obey God. And if they do, it should be of their own free will. 6. And this is love, that we follow His commandments. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you follow love. Nothing can substitute for obedience. And this is love, that we follow His commandments. Nothing can substitute for obedience. Loving God is obeying God. When we do not obey, we're not loving Him. If anything, we're loving ourselves. 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, men who will not acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Anyone who says that Jesus Christ is not 100% human like the rest of us is lying. At the very least, they are spreading untruths. Jesus Christ was able to pay for our sins because He was 100% pure, sinless man. You deny His humanity, you deny His sacrifice on our behalf. Verse 8. It says, look to yourselves, that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Don't stop believing the truth about Jesus, is what he is saying. Don't stop believing the truth. What we believe affects how we live. And if we start believing wrong things, we're going to start acting the wrong way, and we could lose what we have. 9. Anyone who goes ahead, this is a very important verse, anyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God, he who abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. And that's not just for the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that's for Scripture in general. Anybody who goes beyond what is written, anybody who goes ahead, God says at least 3 times in His Word, don't take away from my Word, don't add to my Word. You add to your word, to His Word, you're wrong. Just like if you take away from His Word. It's just amazing to me, though. People don't see it that way. A lot of people don't. There are those who add things to the Word of God, thinking that they are playing it safe by doing that. Like I had one man say, well, at our church, we have all these rules and regulations, you know, we equate these with Scripture. And I said, yeah, but that's adding to the Word of God. Well, at least we go too far. As he said, as if that's commendable. At least we go too far. At least we go beyond what is written. That's exactly what God is warning about here. Going beyond what the Bible teaches is just as wrong as leaving out what the Scripture does teach. It is enough to teach as truth only what Scripture teaches. And so, have your own little convictions on how you want to apply the Scriptures. That's fine. You want your own convictions on how to apply the Scriptures? Great. But if it doesn't specifically say it or teach it in the Word of God, don't equate it with the Word of God, and don't try to force others into doing it. And I'll give you one good reason not to do that. I can give you a lot of good reasons. God says it over and over again. At least 3 times. Don't take away from my word, but don't add to my word either. And then he says, let me read Proverbs 30, verse 6 to you. Listen to what God says here. It says, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. It's commendable to equate my convictions with the word of God and try to hold others to those things? That's adding to the word of God. That's not commendable. God says, you do that, you're putting words in my mouth, words that I never spoke, and I'm calling you a liar. You're lying about me. What God has said is enough. He doesn't need any help from me or anybody else adding to the word, to his word, things that, you know, that he left out. He didn't leave anything out. 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into the house or give him any greeting, for he who greets him shares in his wicked work. You know the purpose for a visit to your house from a false teacher? You know why they knock on your door? It's to teach what is wrong. They don't knock on your door because they want to learn. They don't think they can learn anything. They don't think they have anything to learn, especially from you or me. They knock on your door because they want to teach you what is wrong. Don't listen to them. If you're grounded in your faith enough, tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, but make it short and sweet and send them on their way. 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink, but I hope to come and see you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. He says, notice, I have much more to write to you, but I would rather not use paper and ink. What does that mean? That means that there is more apostolic truth than what is recorded in Scripture. John was an apostle. He had truth that he wanted to deliver to this church, but he wasn't going to do it in written form. He was going to do it orally. There is more apostolic truth than what is recorded in Scripture. There's no question about that. And it's all important. However, all the truth that we need for salvation and holiness is recorded in Scripture. 13. The children of your elect sister greet you. And again, John speaks in Christian code here. We must never compromise our faith to avoid trouble. But we should avoid trouble whenever possible. We'll pick it up in 3 John next time. Until then, so long, everyone.